Appreciate that song tonight. Appreciate Brother Shuler and Miss Linda. Just a good duo right there. Appreciate that so much. I envy Brother Shuler's guitar picking. But other than that, I don't envy nothing else. So let's get Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll end the series on music matters and just dealing with music. And I'm so glad to be a part of a church that has great music and great musicians, and it's a blessing to be a part of a church like this. And you go to a lot of churches around the world, they don't have the piano players, they don't have the special singers, and they don't have all the things we have, and we ought to be a thankful people for that. And I certainly am, as being part of the music ministry here for 10 years. God's blessed us immensely, and I appreciate what the Lord's done. Tonight we're going to look at two passages of scripture in the New Testament that should be familiar to you. They're really the two in the New Testament that tell us about music, and it gives us, and tonight we're going to cover three categories of God's music, and he gives them to us in both of these passages written by Paul. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 18 through 20, and then we'll look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, and he's writing about music. And I want us to look, if you will, in verse 18 of chapter 5 of Ephesians 5, 18, and we'll begin tonight. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And notice the semicolon there. It is a semicolon, right, teachers? Okay, make sure. Sometimes I get those wrong. And but notice what that means. It's going to continue, right? So he says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." He says, in the Spirit-filled life, here's what he wants you to do. He says, verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." When you read this passage of Scripture, I want us to focus, number one, I believe that he's talking to the church, right? He's talking to the local New Testament church. But I believe in this one, it is talking about a personal walk with the Lord. If you study Ephesians, he's talking about our walk with the Lord. And chapter 5 tells us in order for us to walk rightly with the Lord, we must be Spirit-filled. And he says when you're Spirit-filled, you're going to do something. And he says it very specifically. Notice what he says. He says, "Speaking to yourselves, make a melody in your heart." He goes on to say, so this is more personal. This is not the outward singing. He's not necessarily talking about the singing just happened, even though that is a result of what happens in the heart. By the way, music has to start in our heart first. It has. We can't come up here, and it's just like this sermon. These have been tough sermons. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I've studied so much, I'm just ready to quit and walk out the door and go eat. I'm telling you, I'm just at that point where my head's overflowing. I've read so many books and read and studied every scripture in the Bible on music. And the Lord has just filled me. But it's just like a sermon, is that it ought to fill our hearts. It ought to fill our being before we preach it. But I promise you, before pastor ever preaches a message, that it's filled his heart, and it comes out of the overflow. And what happens is that when we have the right kind of music in our hearts, and we're daily walking, and we're thinking of the Lord, and we're singing a melody to him because we're thinking of him in our heart. Listen, you don't have to be a good singer to sing unto the Lord. Right? He's given us all music abilities in order to sing to him. I find myself all the time, my wife, she's not here, she's in the nursery. Well, anybody that knows me well knows I always have a song. You name something, buddy, I'll say, that's a song. This is a song. But I'm always whistling. I'm like Brother Leopard. My wife gets confused with me and Brother Leopard. We both whistle a lot. And she's like, oh, no, that's Brother Leopard, right? She's real brokenhearted over that, too, I'm sure. But, you know, and my wife used to say when I was a janitor for Brother Crawford at the other church, it was a pretty big church, she said, I could always find you because you're whistling. But my mind doesn't shut off. And matter of fact, I have trouble a lot of times going to sleep because this thing doesn't shut off up here, and I'm always singing some song. I always have a song. And this is what he's speaking of, the Spirit-filled life. By the way, when you have a Spirit-filled life, you'll have the right kind of music. Close the Bible. Let's go home. Right? You're not going to, I mean, if you're Spirit-filled, the right kind of music is going to be. But listen, in order for you to have that joy that God wants you to have, you're going to have a song in your heart. And it can't be boom, 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 you know. And it needs to be something that will be honoring to him. Y'all want me to rap for y'all right now? I'm just wanting. We'll take up an offering and see if we do. We get a good offering, we might do that. But I want you to notice what he's saying here. And so go over to Colossians, and we're going to compare these two. So we'll just kind of reference back to them. But I want you to look, if you will, in Colossians now, chapter 3, again, local New Testament church. But he's writing to the individuals about their union in Christ. If you have a study Bible, you'll see that it says that the union with Christ, and then the hereafter, he's talking about your walk with the Lord. And as you walk with the Lord, these are some things that's going to happen in your life. And he says in verse 16, 3:16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." There again, he's not talking about public singing. He's talking about what happens in your heart. And there has to be a song in our heart tonight. And he says, "And whatsoever you do," verse 17, "and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Listen, our ability to hear music and to sing music is a gift God has given us to give back to him and to bless one another. Notice the wording in here. For years, I thought I knew what admonishing meant, you know, and then a few years ago, I was studying music again. And I was like, let me study that out a little bit. And I did that. I went to Mr. Strong's. You know what Mr. Strong says that word means? It means admonishing means to put in mind or to caution or to reprove gently, admonish, or warn. That's what he said. You would think this, we need to lift each other up by singing. No, he says we need to admonish one another. We need to caution one another with our songs. You go back and you listen, you read the Psalms, there was a lot of caution in there. Don't do this. This is what we did before. It didn't work. And so music can be correcting. It can be encouraging and all these things. He says, but notice what he says. First of all, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Listen, here's what happens. These two passages, you want to kind of parallel them. Ephesians chapter 5, you have to be spirit-filled. When you have the spirit-filled life, the overflow is right kind of music. Making melody in your heart. And in Colossians, you have an overflowing of when you have the Word of God in your life, you have an overflowing of singing also. Listen, those two go hand in hand. Being spirit-filled and the Word of God, letting it dwell with you in raw richness, when that's in your life, guess what's going to happen? Thank God I am saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Lord, thank you saved me today. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. That's the kind of music you're... Listen, if you're thinking about everything that's wrong in your life and in the world, your song's going to be different. Blooms despair is hanging on me. Deep dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Blooms despair, this agony on me. Whoa. That's Hee Haw. Anybody remember Hee Haw, right? Yeah, I'm a product of the Hee Haw group, right? But that's what happens in our life, you know. And sometimes in our life, when we focus on the problems and the trials and still the Word of God and being spirit-filled, our music changes. Why? Because we want something that matches our temperament or our mood that we're in. But listen, what happens is when you're spirit-filled and the Word of God is being put in your life, your music is going to be different because it's going to be what God wants it to be. And He gives us three categories of His music. Number one, I want you to notice, if you will, in all these, in both passages, He says Psalms. This is very simple. Psalms are Scripture. He says, I want you to sing Scripture. You know how I learn things? I sing them. Right, I think I've done this before, but January, February, March, and April, May, and June, and July, August, September, October, November, December. Right? I mean, that's how I learned my months. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I think I told you all that before, right? I would hate to know. Somebody said, could you start at N and go to Z? No. I got to sing the whole song. You can't interrupt the song. I know the song, right? But that's how you learn. How did you learn? Father Abraham had many sons. All the songs that you know, back in your childhood, especially in Sunday school, you remember those things. Why? Because those are the Scripture songs that we learn to sing. And those psalms that we sing are Scripture. We ought to sing the Scripture. By the way, a lot of churches don't do a lot of psalms. We don't sing a lot of psalms. And I think it's part of what we need. We need to be well-rounded. Then you see hymns. And a lot of times we think hymns are out of the hymn book. You realize there's not all the songs that are in this hymn books are hymns. Because hymns are this. Hymns are scriptural songs. And here's what I read. I've looked this up several times. Hymns are the attributes of Christ, or hymns are meant to be about Him. That's what a hymn is. A hymn is about Him. That's the easiest way to remember, right? Just because it's in a hymn book doesn't mean it's a hymn. Matter of fact, there's a lot of spiritual songs in this book that are not necessarily hymns, but they're just spiritual songs. We'll talk about those here in a minute. And when you look at hymns, is that they attribute attributes to Christ, and it's a song about Him. Who else should we sing about? Me? You know? No, we should sing about Him. And we need to sing more about Him and sing more to Him. And notice the last one is spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? Guess what? They're spiritual songs. Right? In other words, it has to line up with this. It can't be contrary to the Word of God. Spiritual songs, I give you, or one guy I was listening to said this. He said, spiritual songs are verb songs. In other words, like sweet hour prayer, you're doing something, right? Or we'll work till Jesus comes. Type spiritual songs, or maybe it's the song like Miss Linda and Brother Shuler just sang. Those can be categorized as spiritual songs, right? When we sing about heaven, going to heaven, those could just be categorized as spiritual songs. And here's the thing about when you're talking about music. Music, you set boundaries about music, but there's so many things that can go in that. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I want to get ahead of myself. But you say, well, what do you do with these three categories? That's what the church needs to be singing. You need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we'll kind of go in. Why is that? Because here's the thing, and I'm going to give you a lot of verses on this, is why should we sing these songs? Because God has put a new song in your heart. When He saved you, He gave you a new person, right? You became new. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. He has saved you. You went from hell to heaven. You went from lost to saved. And when He did that, He gave us a new desire for new music. Hello? Now we have to be careful in these areas, and we'll talk about it, but here's what Psalm says. Psalm 33:3 says, sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with loud noise. He says in Psalm 43, He says, He hath put a new song in my mouth. By the way, that's what He's done. He's given us a new song. Psalm 96:1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Psalm 98:1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gotten Him the victory. What is this talking about? Listen, here's what happened when your new life set in. God set in with it. And you can't help but to sing about a holy God that came and dwelled in you. You can't help but to praise Him. You can't help but to lift your voice up to Him. Why? Because a holy God came to live in you. Some of y'all ain't getting this. A holy God came to live in you and be your God. Even though you were filthy and dirty and lost and wicked, He said, I will come and dwell with you. Why? Because when you get saved, God comes to dwell in you. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm glad He came to live with me. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. He even knew my thoughts and said, I'll come live with you. If y'all could read my thoughts right now, I'm having bad thoughts about some of y'all because you're not saying amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But He's given us a new song. And if you read all of these, and I'm not going to read all of them, but all the times it said there's a new song, it says sing it because God's there. Sing it because He needs praises. There's a new song because you're a new creature. And matter of fact, if you don't like singing a new song, get used to it, because in heaven you're going to sing one. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, this is talking about Christ when He opened the book. I love this one. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. They started singing when they looked around and said, who can open the book? Can anybody open the book? And all of a sudden, they said, oh, we know one who can open the book. Jesus Christ opened the book. And they said, well, that's interesting. No, they begin to sing, He's worthy to open the book. He's worthy to open the book. Yes, not about you, but it seems like they were pretty excited. Right? I don't think they were singing, who put the Bible in the Bible box? That's an old song for some of y'all. That's oldies. They may have been singing Sweet Home Alabama. I don't know. Maybe. I'm pretty sure they wasn't. But in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3, it says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne. Talking about our representatives before the throne, it says, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. It says there was a new song then. From the 144,000, they had sung a song. You know why? Because they saw redeemed souls being saved. And they got excited because they were evangelists. And they began to sing a new song. You know, you ever, I don't know, if something good happens to you in your life, you know how you just kind of get that little, you know? That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. It's going to be, we're going to see Christ, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to begin to sing and praise Him and thank Him for all He's done. Now that you're saved, your category has changed, right? Your category has changed to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Your songs used to be about whatever your flesh wanted to sing about, right? Hello. When we were lost, my songs were about being lost. I can name some songs, right? All my exes live in Texas. I don't have any exes. I got friends in low places, now I got a friend in high place. Right? I'm not whiskey Benton. Right? I'm not. That was the songs, right? And I was country, so I can't name some of the other genres, sorry, for you guys. But when I got saved, guess what? I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I'm redeemed. I'm glad I'm redeemed. My song has changed. Why? Because I went from being hell-bound and being lost and being unrighteous to being righteous and heaven-bound. And when that happened, guess what happened? My song changed. Why? Because my destination changed. My total self changed because God came to live with me. And guess what now? I'm singing a new song. I think so many times in our life is the reason we don't sing and why we don't have the right song in our heart is because we're not spirit-filled and we're not in God's Word. That's it. I'm telling you. I can tell you whenever I don't get in the Bible and do what I'm supposed to do, those old songs come back so fast. Right? The other day I was sitting there and I was trying to think of some songs that would be good illustrations, and then I got discouraged and said, no, let's not do that. Because you ever go back and listen to some of the music you used to listen to, you go, that was a lot worse than I thought it was. Right? I remember, and I'll just give you a name of one that my brother used to listen to, but the Beastie Boys. I was like, it was white boy rap is what it was. And I used to hear it, I was like, oh my soul, why do they listen to that stuff? And you know, and I went back, I said, let me listen to some of the words that they said. I said, Tyler, don't look up my history on my computer. Right? I'm telling you. I was like, whoa, I can't believe some of the words that they say. And listen, here's the thing, is that music drives us either to Christ or from Christ. Right? Our lifestyle either drives us to Christ, and I'm not saying there's not some entertainment out there. Me and Pastor were talking about this the other day. I heard this. I said, you know, music ought to be like a diet. The main part are to be these songs, right? I'm not saying that if you go listen to God Bless the USA, it's not contrary to the Word of God. You know, there's some wholesome songs out there. I remember growing up, my parents used to listen to, or maybe it wasn't my parents, maybe it was stepdad, used to listen to You Got to Stand for Something or You Fall for Anything. I went back and listened to that. I said, you know, that's a pretty wholesome song. That's telling a man to stand up and be a man. We probably need more songs like that today, right? It's not contrary to the Word of God, but you don't want that as your full diet. Why? Because, and listen, I like fight songs, you know? I love like high school and college fight songs, don't you? Dun, 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 dun. That's Alabama's, in case you want to know, you know? Or I'll play Brother Lepers for him. Rocky Top, right? You know, those things are fun. And by the way, there was times growing up with our kids, we sung funny songs, right? You sing some silly songs to your kids. I'm not saying those are wrong. I'm just saying that shouldn't be our main diet. That's the cookie and the cake that we eat, right? But we got to get back on our diet. Why? Because a diet of biblical-based music will draw you to the Savior. Amen. Music today has one idea, an essential. It's to drive you away from God. I literally today, I said, you know what, I typed in my computer, again, Tyler checks on us, so I typed in my computer, lyrics to most popular songs 2020. I can't name the people that pulled up, they had weird names. And I pulled up the songs and I went through one, I said, nope, not going to do that. The cursing and the vulgarity that's in music today is appalling not only to me, but to a holy God. And that kind of music cannot be in our life. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God cannot be in our life. And I'm telling you, folks, is that, there again, I live a sheltered life, and so that's why I went on the computer and I said, popular songs of the day, and I went, I never heard none of those, thank God. And you begin to look at lyrics, you go, oh, my spirit within me was convicted that I even looked at that. I can't much less think that my children are listening that. In their earbuds and all these things. I'm like, man, I'd beat them right here in front of y'all. If I caught that on their, I'm like, good gravy. Such sexuality, such vulgarity, homosexuality, everything that the world is trying to draw our people in. Listen, that's what the devil's doing. Remember, I started this thing off saying the most talented person that ever walked the face of the earth with music was the devil. And guess what? He'll use it to draw young people in. And the reason that they listen to certain musics, they dress the way they do, because the music is so powerful that it changes them. You see these gothic people, I promise you, they're not listening to Southern Gospel. Right? You see these people with all these piercings and all this, I promise you, they're not listening to Southern Gospel. Or they're not listening to hymns. You know what they're listening to? Through that dark music. And I remember growing up, we used to have a group called Black Sabbath. That ought to tell you what kind of group that was. I couldn't tell you any songs they sung, but I'm telling you, there is a genre of music for every person in this world. Satan makes sure that it is. And for the Christian, your daily diet needs to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And put it in your house and feel it in your heart. And listen, when you do that, listen, the Holy Spirit of God is pleased in your life. The Word of God is dwelling in you richly. And we need to get good music in our life. Me and Miss Crystal talk a lot about music because we came from the east side of the world, and we like a lot of the same groups. And I tell you, the older I get, the more conservative I get in my music. And I start finding that I love family groups better than I like quartets. Now, no, don't shoot me. I'm a quartet guy. Pastor is too. Pastor feels the same way. We were just talking about this. And I'll just mention a couple of families. I love the Clark family. They're one of my favorites. Family, and matter of fact, I know Michael Clark. I have him on my cell phone now. I got his number. And they work in a church in New Jersey. The Lindsay family. We've gotten addicted to them. A bunch of us have talked about the Lindsay family. And I like college groups and like that. You know, like I like Heartland. I like West Coast and Crown. And those colleges put out quality choir and their group. That's what we need in our homes, guys. Amen. Listen, in so much music today, it is so much about the flesh. It's so much about worldly living. It's all about that. We need to get back to the book. Just because we leave church and doesn't mean we leave God. Right? I'll go a step further. We ought to watch what we're watching on TVs and all this, the stuff that goes on all around it. And listen, I love music. I absolutely love music. I mean, I do every day in my life. If you look at my phone, it's music, music, music. I don't play games. I just like music. I'm not smart enough to play most games and get aggravated and throw my phone. Right? So I just really listen to music. And you know what I find out is that the more I listen to the right kind of music, the more it helps me spiritually. And when I get to the end of the day, it's amazing. I was telling somebody this the other day, it may have been my wife. I said, you know, when you go through a certain situation, God always puts the right song right there, right? And man, I'm telling you, I was coming back from Brother Handy's, I'm telling you, just the right song came on at the right time. And I mean, we had a great revival, except for the preaching, the preacher. The church was good, and the people were good, but the preaching was meh. And I was coming back, I was just like, you know, I started beating myself up. I was like, you know what, I wish I would have said this a little different. I wish I would have done that. You know how we preachers do, we grade ourselves and I always get an F. And I was like, man, I did this wrong. And then a song came on that just said, God can do anything with anything. I said, that's me. God can use me. You know what we have to do? We just have to surrender it to Him. You know what happens when we surrender to Him? He's Spirit-filled, and we let the Word of God dwell in us richly. But the main thing about these two verses is to the Lord. Right? We're singing to the Lord. When's the last time you just had a time where you just talked to Him in song? And just praised Him and thanked Him for all the things? I was listening to a song just today. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I love that song. And then the Rochesters came on, another good group. If you like a little more bluegrass, they're not too bad. You can understand what they're saying. But they were singing, I have been blessed. God is so good to me. I punched my steering wheel. It's so good. I was like, that steering wheel got a right hook, I'm telling you. I was like, man, I have been blessed. So blessed. And I'm telling you, when you stop and you listen to the words of songs that we're singing, just like Pastor tonight stopped one of the songs and said, hey, let's think about what we're singing. I know he says all the time, but I'm bad too. I can sing Victory in Jesus without even thinking about it. I can sing I'm Washed in the Blood without thinking about it. I can sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name without thinking about it. But shouldn't we stop and let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? And let it fill us. And I'm telling you, if you've ever been to the point where God's just filled you up, you can't help but to sing. And it may not be outwardly, audibly, but you're singing in your heart. Tonight, we're all blessed. If you feel you're not blessed, we're going to Guatemala. You come with us, and I'll show you you are blessed. If you're having a bad day, find a song that'll minister to your heart. God's put music out there, and I thank God He's still letting people write great songs. I'm glad God's still allowing good music to be produced, and you got to filter through it. Listen, when I was a choir director many years ago, feels like it. I'm telling you, we subscribed to all the popular choir music, and can I tell you, here's what I did. Literally, I'd spend hours a week when I get those. Trash, 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 maybe. Trash, 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 trash. I mean, you'd open it up and no longer put that music in. Wow! I'm like, I don't care what the words are. They lost me. Done with that one. You know? I'm like, nope. Throw that one in the trash. And then one, you're like, oh, they started off with words. That's a novel idea. I can actually hear what they're saying. Or it's very, what irritates me is shallow songs. Like, you know, I mean, just songs that, like, you know, I was listening to a song, and it's like, you know, oh, my girlfriend left me, Jesus loves me. You know, oh, that's great, but I'm not going to sing that as a choir special. Went to the grocery store, my buggy fell over, but Jesus is good. Okay, that's good. Listen to that at your house if you want to, but we're not singing that as a choir special. That's a shallow song, you know. We're going to heaven. Well, that's great, but that's a shallow song. I need more than that, right? So many times, I'm telling you, you laugh, but there are some silly songs out there that people, you know, it's like they wrote the first few words of the verse, and then I don't know what happened to them. They're like, I can't think of anything else that rhymes, so I'm just going to start saying dog, you know, gone, Jesus good. I mean, it's like, blows my mind. Like, can we not attribute attributes to Him? You could sing thousands of songs just talking about the goodness of God. You could sing thousands and thousands and thousands of songs of just praise to Him. One day you ought to just sit down and write down all the things you're thankful for and just make up your own little song. For my home and family, for life's joys you've given me. Right? I mean, I thank you, Lord. And just thank Him. And boy, I'm telling you, what's going to happen? It's going to bubble up in your soul. And that new man, he's going to get strength. The old man, he's going to get weaker because you're attributing praise to Him. Music is so important. And listen, I'm not perfect in music. I know what the scripture says, and I study it, and I love it. And I'm telling you, here's what's happened to me. I almost wanted to have a CD burning tonight, but you know, nobody listens to CDs anymore. We'd have to burn our phones. Phone burning tonight. I remember when I was a youth director, I remember one night I was like, I was tired of these kids listening to this junky music. You know, I said, bring your CDs tonight. We're gonna crush them. We had a CD crushing. Maybe it was a cassette crushing. I can't remember. But, you know, we crushed those things. And I was like, you know what? I look back on some of them songs those kids listened to. It wasn't half bad compared to what's today. I was like, maybe we should get, you know, but I mean, we did. We was like, crush those things, you know? And I was thinking, that's not the way to do it. Because it's taken me time in the scripture and filtering my music through this. And when you do that, God will change your heart. I'm not telling you to go home tonight and chuck everything out the door and your TV and all that stuff and your kids, maybe your kids. But let God work on your heart. Too many times the Baptists get the bad rep of telling you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. That's good, but it ought to be your decision between you and God, because if it is, then you'll change not because of me, but because of Him. And that's what's happened in my life. And I hope that you'll pray about your music and just listen to what you're listening to and say, does that line up with this? Is it contrary to this? If it's contrary to it, throw it away. Just get rid of it. You don't need it. Your kids don't need it. Your grandkids don't need it. We don't need it. Just get rid of it. Let's stay biblical. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings tonight. God, thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, I do thank you again for music. And Lord, I know I'm not done a great job of relaying it, Lord, to the hearts of the people, but I know that your Holy Spirit can. And Lord, I certainly tonight thank you for helping me in the area of music in my life and the changes made. And Lord, just the different groups that you brought by my way that, Lord, have been such an encouragement to me and to help me to lift praises to you through song. And Father, I pray tonight that you would help each and every one tonight to examine themselves, Lord, in the area of music. And Lord, just asking you tonight to help us to filter our music through your word and through you tonight. Lord, it's not what we want, it's what you want in our life. We want to lift up your praise and your glory. And Father, we want to attribute all those attributes to your life, Lord, that you have so greatly expressed through your word. Father, I pray you bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Pastor.